This will be a blessing to you. I know there's a message here for us. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, and the Bible says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments, in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. The angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he had tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the song we've heard and the songs we've sang, Lord, and we thank you for your presence here today. And now I pray that our hearts are prepared, Lord, to hear from you, and I pray that you speak to us today, Lord, and help us to keep focused on what it's all about this year and every year should be, Lord, that you've sent the greatest gift of all, your Son, to come and die for us, that we could have eternal life. Help us not forget that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Waiting for Christmas. And, you know, we were talking about how fast time goes. It seems like the older that you get. But how many of you remember when you were a kid? And like maybe when you got out of school, or maybe the last 3 weeks before Christmas, or maybe the last week, like this week coming up. And man, it seemed like that Christmas day was never going to get there, man. I mean, it drug out all day. Every day was a long day. And I remember my buddies and me, we'd mill around the house and or outside. We'd walk around. What do you think you're going to get? And, you know, I don't know. I'm getting this. And, you know, you'd have all these visions of what you thought you were going to get for Christmas. And, man, we thought it would never get there. And then there came a time when we became adults. And somebody would say, boy, it's only 3 weeks till Christmas. You go, 3 weeks? Oh, my gosh, I don't have time. I got all this stuff I got to do. And we can't get it done. And now the time just flies. And you know, and even as a kid, I remember, it seemed like Christmas Day itself. Boy, you got up and you're tearing through the things and whatever you had to do that day. And then the next thing you know, it was night, boy, and Christmas Day was gone. It'll be like that this year, too. It's like that every year. But, you know, it's... I think it's a setup, and when we see how the reason I read the verses that I read leading up to and went ahead and read about Mary, we know that's talking about the birth of John the Baptist. He was the forerunner to Christ, and Elizabeth and Mary were cousins, and they were with child about the same time John came first. You know, God was setting up Christmas a certain way. He had a setup for it to have it the impact that it had that very first Christmas. And, you know, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. You know, there was a remnant of people, and I know now, like, we're anticipating Christmas, and hopefully you got about everything done. I'm pretty sure most of us don't have everything done, but you know, most of it, and we got the loose ends to do, and we're kind of anticipating Christmas coming, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, family things, whatever we're going to do, church and worshiping God and those type things. But, you know, there was a remnant of Jews for a long period of time that waited for the birth of the Messiah, waited for Jesus' birth for generation after generation after generation, day by day, day in, day out, year in, year out. They were waiting for a Christmas that for them never came. There was probably millions of people that died waiting for that first Christmas that didn't happen in their lifetime. 700 years actually went by without that Christmas taking place. And for 400 of those years, think about this, 400 years, they never heard from God. They never heard from God for 400 years. I mean, God spoke by the prophets in those days. There was a, God did this on purpose. God stopped saying, thus saith the Lord, for a 400-year period, so that when Jesus came, you know, it was a dark time. In world history, that was the what we call the medieval times. You've seen it on TV. It's always cloudy. It's always foggy. It's always winter. It's always dark. That's a great illustration of the medieval times. 400 years of time where God wasn't really saying, thus saith the Lord, other than the old scriptures that they had from the past, anything that had been said and recorded from the past. And, you know, that's a long time not to really get a revelation from God, to hear something like, they didn't have the Bible. The average person didn't have any scriptures whatsoever to read. God was setting it up, you know, because a light in a dark spot really shines bright, you know. And so he's setting that up. But, you know, think about this in your Christian experience, those of you that are saved and been saved a long time, and if you've been saved a long time, I'm sure this has happened. If it hasn't, if you haven't been saved a real long time, maybe not yet, but in our Christian experiences, doesn't it seem like there's times when it seems like God's just silent? I mean, we're not hearing from God, and we're not real sure that God is hearing from us. Maybe you're praying, but, you know, and there's times when it just doesn't seem like in your life, and I know we can count our blessings in that, but as far as God doing something in the real obvious way, maybe in your church life, you know, I know churches go through, you know, we go through phases as churches. We got a life of our own. We got individual lives collectively, but we're a church collectively too. And sometimes in a church life, it seems like, man, this guy's not doing anything. I know every pastor's felt that way, and personally we may feel like that as well. Now, a lot of times, part of it is, one of the reasons is sometimes it's because we've drifted away from God. We, you know, ourselves, we have gotten so far away from God, we couldn't hear Him if He is screaming at the top of His lungs for us. You know, we've gotten that far away ourselves. But I know this, there's other times that, listen, we're coming and we're worshiping and we're being faithful and we're praying and we're reading our Bible and maybe really seeking God's will. We're seeking God's face. We're studying. And it still doesn't seem like that God hears us. And worse than that, it just doesn't seem like that God is speaking to us in any particular way. Any doesn't really have anything to say. And during those times, what will happen most of the time, you know, we start to question, well, you know, why am I going through all this? Why do I go to church on Sunday? You know, I don't hear God say anything to me. I mean, it's good to see the folks and shake hands and fellowship and we sing some songs and the preacher's preaching them great messages that he always preaches and, you know, it's all good there. But, you know, I just don't really see, why do I worship? Why do I serve God? I don't really seem to see any fruit of that. I don't see people's lives being changed or doesn't do anything. You know, why do I remain faithful when it just seems like nothing is happening? I'm not hearing from God. Well, you know, I think God uses time in certain ways, and we have some old adages in life that you either use them or you've heard them. One of them is the cream always rises to the top. We know about that adage, right? This one makes more sense to you in a minute. How about time will tell? That's one we say, right? You're not sure about things, say, well, time will tell. Or it'll all come out in the wash. How about that one? Everybody said I'll use that one sometime myself. It's all going to come out in the wash. We got that. I think that God uses time like He did before the birth of Christ, and maybe even at times when it doesn't seem like He's speaking to us or He doesn't hear us. God uses time in different ways. And what he does, one of the ways he knows, and I'm not going to tell you I know the mind of God in everything, and I know why, you know, everything that God does with time. But I think I know this. I think I know that God uses time to kind of shake out the faithful from the faithless. Not that he doesn't know. I mean, he knows. But he's trying to separate it for their sakes or our sakes, if you want to look at it that way. You know, the Bible talks about separating the wheat from the tares. God knows the wheat from the tares. He does. But he wants to separate it as far as the church is concerned. And time's one of the ways that'll do that. And that'll come out in the text this morning. Just three things. I want three groups of people that I'll use for the outline. The faithful, the faithless, and the fulfilled. People that are fulfilled by God. The very first group we look at is the faithful. And we see Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth. We see that he's a priest. That means he had the priestly functions. It talked about him burning the incense there. And you know, he served God. Listen, folks, they didn't just go to the temple to worship once a week or twice a week. They didn't go just Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They went down to worship every day at certain times. People went to worship God every single day. And he served in the temple day in, day out. The way the priests would work, they'd have an assigned time. He even mentioned it kind of briefly. They said when his time was up and then he was done, then his wife had the baby. But he had a time it was that he was on duty, so to speak, a certain amount of months or weeks that he would do that. And he served God and he was doing that day in, day out. And remember, like I said, they were looking for the Messiah for 700 years, hadn't heard from God for 400 years, but there they were. Day in, day out. And I'm sure, listen, I know, you know, sometimes we paint a spiritual picture of somebody that may not be totally accurate. I'm sure that there was times that he had all the questions that I spoke about already. Why am I doing this? You know, I haven't heard from God in 400 years. Matter of fact, they hadn't heard from God speak in their lifetime. In their lifetime, they had never seen God really doing anything in a spectacular way or speaking like he had in old during their whole lifetime. Yet, there they were. Verse 6 says that they were righteous. Verse 6 says that they were blameless. That meant that they did all the sacrifices when they weren't perfect that God required for them to do. And they were obedient. They were obedient people. That means they prayed every day. They worshiped every day. To the best of their ability, they obeyed God's commandments every day. They performed all those sacrifices and ordinance under the law that was required. In other words, they were trying. I mean, they were trying to draw close to God, and they were worshiping God. I know that there was probably some right and ritualistic things that were going on in their life, and some days they probably didn't feel like doing it. And I know they got in that old monotonous groove like we get in sometime, and we're just kind of like robots. We stagger into church, and we sit down, and when it's over, we stagger out. And what did the preacher say? I got no idea. And, you know, we go home, but it was good, you know. I mean, we get like that. We're just like, you know, we're going in and out day in, day out, man. They were doing it every day. And they lived as though Christmas was coming. We tell the kids, you know, remember the song, you know, better not shout, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm talking about Santa Claus, you know, of course we know about that. And it's like you had to be good if you're going to get anything. You ask everybody they've been good. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And really Christmas is grace too because we haven't been good and we still get presents, right? But it was like they were faithful. They lived as though Christmas was coming, that the Messiah was coming at any time. And I notice this right here, and I never noticed this before. I always see something different. In verse 7, it says this, and I underline the first word. It says, and they had no child. It says in verse 6, they were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless, and they have no child. See, sometimes as humans, we would like to put the word but instead of and. Think about it. Because see, it's like a tit-for-tat thing. Sometimes we think with God, look, God, I'm being faithful, and I'm praying, and I'm obeying all the commands the best of my ability, but I don't have any child. Didn't say that. It said, and they had no child. Didn't change their relationship with God because they didn't have a child. It was and they had no child, not but they had no child. Like there was some pause in their faithfulness because of that. You understand it? That's why I believe the writer put it down that way. They were faithful and trusted and they believed God and you know, they hadn't thrown the towel in but they still hadn't heard from God in their lifetime and they hadn't seen God do anything in their lifetime.
There's some of you here that haven't seen God do anything in your lifetime. I mean, yeah, you know, we know, well, you know, God blesses us. We got the rain and we got, you know, and we're eating good and we got a roof over our head and the heat's still running and all that. But I mean, really see God do something in your life. Not really. Not really where God made, you know, there's some of us here. I could preach this anywhere. Don't get all uptight and say, man. I could go to any church in the world and preach it. I could be preaching to three people and say to preach the same thing and it would apply to somebody. Really haven't seen God do something in their life. Well, I got a message for you for New Year's Day that'll help you right here. Give you a little advertising for that, right? The haven't seen that. And you know, when you think about it, that would really kind of put a strain on your faithfulness in a way. And I think it does put a strain on people's faithfulness to God today. Now, most of the time I'm going to say, listen, there's not that many people that today, because we're living in a different age than they were. The Messiah came and Jesus came and He died and He resurrected and He sent the Holy Spirit and He dwells in our heart. There's not too many people, probably not anybody, that's seeking God's face today, being faithful, being praying, and really want to hear from God. They're not going to go too long and not hear from God today. It's not going to be 400 years. It's not going to be 700 years. You're going to, you know, so most of the time when we don't hear from God or we don't see God doing anything in our life, I'll tell you why it is because we done drifted so far away from God we can't hear God speak. You know, because sometimes He speaks in a still small voice, and somebody speaks in a still small voice, you got to be pretty close to Him to hear it, don't you? Huh? And so a lot of times it's because we've got away from God and we haven't heard anything God. And I'm going to tell you what, but in their day, you know, you got to think, boy, I think very highly of them because they remained so faithful and hadn't heard anything from God and hadn't seen anything from God, and it wasn't their fault. But they stayed right there. But how many people would just drift away? Say, I'm not seeing God. What happens in Christianity today? People don't hear anything from God. They don't see God do anything. Nothing's happening in their life. Guess what? What's the point? Throw in a towel. You're right. But in this case, today, listen, it's not because God's holding back. It's because you just got away from God. You know, you're way off over there somewhere. Listen, laying at home in the lazy boy with that pizza crust on your belly on Sunday morning, I don't think you're going to hear from God when the Word of God's getting preached down here. Huh? Tonight? Listen, the Word of God is going to get preached down here tonight too, and you can lay at home and stare at the boob tube till you're blue in the face. I don't think you're going to hear from God unless God's saying, boy, you better get on down there to that church and get on your knees and worship God. That's when you're going to hear from God. And then you're going to sit at home and say, well, I just can't understand. I ain't hearing nothing from God. Well, listen, Ellen and Dr. Phil and Oprah is not going to tell you anything from God. Amen. It's going to be, you know, at the house of God. They was down there every day. I like that. Listen. And it says, and they had no children. That was a big deal in that day. That's your insurance policy, your Social Security, and your retirement plan all rolled up into one. That's why you had a bunch of kids. You get like 10 of them, you figure one of them will come out good, have a good job, and they'll be able to take care of mom and dad in their old age. Amen? Right? You know, that's how you did it in those days. And so it was a big deal. And about... You know, about every woman wanted children. Just about every woman wanted to have a children. And it was really considered a blessing from God if you had children. Conversely, if you didn't have any children, it was like considered, well, I wonder what they're doing. They don't have any kids. They're just doing it in some sin somehow. You know, it was considered not a blessing from God. But you know what? They kept on trusting God and they kept on worshiping God and they remained faithful. Even to this God, they were faithful to God that had left them childless. They knew that the children came from God. They knew it. He does. They do. And then it says, the Bible says they were both well stricken in years. Nice way of saying they was old. You know, that's just what it says. They were old. And you know, a lot of years had passed when I thought about it. Verse 13 says this. We already know down below it says they're well stricken years, but verse 13 said, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. So that tells us right away what the prayer was. We've heard your prayer, and we know what the prayer was, that you wanted a child, and guess what? You're going to have a son. Not only tell you you're going to have a child, tell you what it is, the sex of the child is going to be. You're going to have a son, his name is going to be John. And so a lot of years they had prayed and begged and pleaded and cried about this. I thought it was kind of funny. Zacharias must be a Baptist because it said in verse 18, after the angel told him he was going to have a child, he said, "Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man and wife well stricken in years." Well, if you're an old man and your wife's well old, an old woman, and you're an old man well stricken in years, and you don't think you can have no kids, why are you praying about it? And then when you get an answer to the prayer, you doubt. Huh? They qualify to join right up Valley View Baptist Church, man. Get a membership card, sign them up. Huh? You're praying about it, but you already think it's an impossibility because you're too old. And then the prayer gets answered, and you say, "Well, how am I going to know?" Well, you'll know when your wife's gut's kicking out of here. You know, you'll kind of know that you're having a child. That's how you're going to know. They gave him another sign after that. But you know what? All those years, they cried and they begged and they pleaded, and all them years went by, and they probably were thinking, "Well, it just seems like the answer's no." And sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. Sometimes the answer is no. And you know what happens to us a lot of times? God's people with God's people. Like, we want something. And you know, we're great. God doesn't even need to be wisest man in the world because we help him out all the time. "God, here's my problem, and this is how you can fix it." We're going to give God advice. You know, "God, you can do this, 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 and this, and take this out of the way, and everything will be okay." And God says, "I don't even have to think about it. Look, they got it all figured out." That's how we advise God on how he ought to deal with things. And a lot of times when we do that, and the answer ends up being no, you know what happens to us? We get discouraged. And we get down in the mouth, and we get discouraged, and the next thing you know, it really tests our faithfulness, and we get back to that opposite of grace works thing. Tit for tat. "Well, God, you didn't do that, so therefore I'm gonna quit going to church. I'm gonna quit serving God. I'm gonna quit driving the bus. I'm gonna quit singing in the choir. I'm just not gonna do anything because God didn't do nothing." See, and all along it was grace with God, but now all of a sudden it's works with you, and now God's works didn't match up to what you wanted it to do, and now your faithfulness is put. And see, God already knows, but he's got to show it to us. We got to see that. You remember old Job? Job's wife said, "Man, all that stuff happened to him, lost all his family, lost his health." Job's wife said, "Man, why don't you just curse God and die?" Job said, "Yet though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Amen. He said, "Man, listen, just because things aren't going the way I think they ought to go, I'm still going to keep trusting God." Huh? He had it all figured out. But you know, and none of us here consciously would do it, what I'm talking about, but we would subconsciously. You know, we wouldn't say, "Well, God didn't, you know, sit around and tell the preacher. Call me up on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Preacher, I'm not coming to church no more because God didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted it to go." Nobody's going to do that, I don't think. I'll probably get a call this week. But we do it subconsciously. You know, we just start giving up. Giving up. God's testing our faithfulness by time. By time. Their entire faithfulness to God was based on a promise that God had given to Abraham over 2,000 years ago. You know, God had told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, 2 and 3, he said, "I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And that's talking about the coming of the Messiah. 2,000 years before that promise, but it hadn't happened yet. But it was a promise for the Messiah to come. And all the faithfulness that Zacharias and Elizabeth had was based on a 2,000-year-old promise. They just kept believing God. They kept believing God, and time hadn't changed their mind on that. And a lot of stuff went on between the promise that God had given Abraham and Zacharias' day. Israel had changed hands 25 times. 25 different nations had kind of took rule over top of Israel. They didn't have an army. They didn't have no influence in the world and nothing. But yet the nations of the world are going to be blessed by them. You know, all the nations of the world will be blessed by that nation. And they knew it. They knew that. The promise, were, like I said, was the earth would be blessed. And they remained faithful to God. And thank God for people that remain faithful. And then we see the faithless as well. The second point, faithless. Zacharias and Elizabeth, like I say, they lived as though Christmas, the first one, was coming. You know, but not everybody did. There was only a small people that remained faithful. And as the years kind of went by and they weren't here at the 400-year period where they didn't hear anything from God and they hadn't really seen God do anything, listen here, most of the Jews quit worshiping God. They quit going to the temple worship. They just started living. Some of them fell off into idolatry. They were worshiping something. But a lot of them just started being assimilated somewhat, not totally because Jews never do this, but some degree, into Greek and Roman culture. They were just living their lives. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were making a living. They had business. There was entertainment. There was raising families. Sound familiar? Kind of like what we're doing, right? They just started living their life like, you know, listen, think about it. We're at church worshiping God. But listen, God's not doing nothing in your life. You're not hearing from God. God's not speaking to you. And you don't think God's hearing you. And you're just kind of going through. Listen, when you leave out of here today, listen, man, it's flipped the switch off. Brother, I'm on full bore on and fill your last name in, whatever it is. I'm doing my stuff. I'm doing my things, man. I mean, I'm not hearing from God anyway. I'm getting it done. That's what they did. That's what's going to happen to you. If God's not doing something in your life, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to just start doing your own thing. Listen, they knew about God. You know about God. We know about, we got promises from God. God's got to, listen, he's coming back for his church. It could happen any day. It's just he's coming back. I believe he's going to come back during the church service. Going to be some people missing out. I believe there'll be church going on somewhere when he comes back. He's going to come back. We got a promise about it. We know it. But I'm going to tell you what. Remember them old cook stoves and wood stoves? You know how you cooked on a wood cook stove? How many of you ever cooked on a wood cook stove? Old cook stove. You jockey the pot around according to the priority, right? You want her boiling, you got her up here at the front where the thing's cooking, and when it wasn't that big a deal, kind of done with the coffee pot for the day, you slide that baby back to the back, right? That's what a lot of people done with God. They know about it, they got the promise and all that, but you know, God's not a priority in their life. God's an afterthought. And like I said, we've got the application is we have a promise about the rapture of the church. Listen, the Lord's appearing in the sky. He's coming for his church. And we know it. But you know what? We've been hearing that. I got saved, man. You know, I've been saved a long time. 1980-something, I guess. We've been hearing that all our Christian lives. It's closer today than it was yesterday. But, you know, we keep thinking, God's not coming today, right? And time's going by, and I think God's waiting for the same reason. He's waiting and letting the cream rise to the top. The fakes and the flakes are going to fall out. He's waiting for that. He's separating the wheat from the tares. But he's still got a remnant that's faithful. And that faithful few is not going to be moved. They're going to remain true. But like I say, let's keep it real. Listen, for church members today, average church members in churches today, preach it anywhere. It's just a sideline. Church is something you've added to your life. You know? It can be as habitual as brushing your teeth before you go to bed, going to church and reading your Bible and even saying your prayers. It's not a reality. It's just something that you've added, an afterthought. He's way on the back burner of the stove. Folks come to church a lot of times with nothing else to do. You can believe all the stuff that comes up that people tell me they can't come to church for. I mean, it's like teachers. I know some of you teach and you know, the excuses kids have for they didn't do their homework. You know, we thought of them all. You probably never heard no other. You know, the cat ate it and everything else, right? That's it. And the reason we can't, oh, preacher, you wouldn't believe all this other stuff comes up. God Almighty, man, God Almighty, the creator of the universe, sent his son to die for you. Sent his son to die for you to take the penalty for your sin. Not only did he die, he was scourged and nailed to an old rugged cross for you. And yet, you know, oh, well, you know, I got a hangnail and somebody showed up and I got this going on. I got to cook dinner. I got to do all kind of crud, not the word I'd like to use, I got to do other than worship God. Christmas itself is going to keep people from worshiping God. The biggest irony in the history of the world. This is just the reality of it. Living like the Lord's not coming back. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine the other day. He said, man, you know, we were talking about the Christmas programs. A couple pastors sitting around. What are you doing? I said, well, we got to play. We got a parade thing and, you know, doing some stuff, candlelight service and that. He said, man, we're not doing anything. He said, nobody volunteered to do the play. Nobody's interested in doing a cantata. Nobody wanted to do nothing. That is the attitude of the majority of the church whole, general, not every individual church, but the church whole. Nobody's, people aren't interested today, man. There's more disinterest in the things of God today than I've ever seen in my Christian life, and certainly my life as a pastor, in the day and age we're living in today. There's more ho-hum disinterest. Listen, man, our church, we put on, listen, I was a little disappointed last week. I'll just tell it like it is. Might as well be, you know, I'm always going to be truthful with you, but, you know, that there wasn't more participation from the church family for the Christmas program that your church puts on. Disinterest in it. Not interested in it. We had a good crowd. I mean, we do it. We had a good crowd, but I just, you know, like to see, every pastor would like to see more, right? And like I say, Wednesday nights, good grief, man. There's sometimes, man, honestly, a cricket would drown us out. Literally, I joke about that, but it literally would. Sunday night, Sunday school, good grief. Sunday school, 10 o'clock Sunday school. You think the pastors are asking you to come at 4 a.m. in the morning to get people, well, I just can't get up. But they're up at 5 o'clock and go to work. Is work more important than worshiping God? Think about it, is it? No, work's not more important than worshiping God. 10 o'clock. I mean, man, that's, who's not up by 10 o'clock? If you ain't up by 10 o'clock, you've been doing something on Saturday night you shouldn't have been doing. I'll tell you that right now. You need to be in bed. Man. That's right. Amen, preacher. Good stuff. Man, tell it. Listen, I've heard them all. I know why people don't do it. It's they don't want to. That's just because humans are funny, man. We want to do something, we do it. We really do, don't we? If there's something we want to do, we really do it. And so listen, you say, I mean, I can't help how you feel, and maybe you can't help how you feel to a degree, but you can. But if you don't feel that way, maybe you ought to, you know, talk to God about that. Say, man, I just don't have a desire I ought to have. There was a guy in the Bible that prayed that prayer. I don't have the desire that I ought to have. We had on our sign Paul had put out there, make America great again, put God first. Randy was telling me the other day, he was driving down the road down here, I think he said between Bonsack and Bedford somewhere, a couple people put signs out in their yard, was in their yard, that said, make America great again. The big signs? Skip church on Christmas. Make America great again, skip church on Christmas. It was atheists. But you know what the sad part is? The atheists skip church every Sunday. You know who's going to be skipping church on Christmas? Christians. Yeah. It'll be the Christians. The atheists are putting the sign up. The weight is separating the faithful from the faithless. And the last thing, the fulfilled people. Zacharias and Elizabeth, they remain faithful. Thousands of people that were faithful even though they never saw the promise fulfilled. But now the time had come and things were about to change. Listen, I think right now, I think that we are living on the brink of change. The Lord's coming back for His church one day. My pastor used to think He'd be alive when He come back. He could have been, but He's not alive. But I tell you what, I still think we may be alive when the Lord comes back. It's close, but it's close. When you look at what's going on, there was nothing going on. And when my pastor used to preach that, there wasn't nothing going on in the world like it's going on now. Huh? Nothing going on like it's going on now. The Lord's going to come back one day. And we're living on the brink of change. We think nothing's going on with God, but I'm going to tell you, God's got it under control. And we and us today are living on the doorstep of Christ's return. And we've got the promise from God. We've got a description in the Bible of how the times would be. We're living in that day today according to the Word of God. It's time to start believing God. It's time to start living like we believe God. He's coming back. The Bible says He's coming back for His bride. He's not coming back for His girlfriend. He's not coming back for an acquaintance. He's coming back for His bride. He uses that terminology for several reasons, and this is one of them, because a bride, a marriage relationship, takes a commitment. He's coming back for the committed, not for the half-hearted. Not for the people that are, you know, got Him on the back burner. He's coming back for His real bride, His committed bride, not just some acquaintance. He's looking for the faithful, the committed believers. One day an angel showed up, it said there at Zacharias, showed up, he said, your prayer has been heard. Now that's good news, isn't it? All those years, he probably didn't think his prayer had been heard. God hears your prayer. Wednesday night prayer meeting important? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Do I have to be at church to pray to God? No, I don't. But God honors corporate prayer in a different way than He honors individual prayer. I'd like to hear that. Your prayers are heard. But Zacharias thinks the angel might be late in verse 18. I said before, why was he praying? He said, well, you know, I think we're just too old. I think he answered, but it's a little bit late. But listen, God's always on time. And he said it made Zacharias, he couldn't speak until the appointed time, the fullness of this in their season. God's calendar, he saw that. God's got a calendar for us as well. I want you to understand that.
I just want to ask you this question. Do you believe? Do you believe that God's got a calendar for you? I've talked to people that were lost, and I said, look, I'm here. You had your whole life, and you're not saved. But at this moment in time, I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I'm standing in front of you with the Word of God. It's your time. And it's what you do with that time. Amen. It's your time. You can get saved or you can stay lost. But it's your time. And there's no guarantee to God to deal with you again on another time. It's your time. You going to follow God or not? You going to worship God or not? You going to believe God or not? You going to trust Him or not? Listen, God exceeded their expectations. They received a son and a Messiah in the same year. Jesus was born the same year. Maybe you can't see God working in your life, but you have His Word. And God pays attention. I want you to understand this, that God pays attention to your faithfulness or not. And God is moved by your faithfulness. And God is moved by prayer. And you know something? We're so selfish. We're always looking for something. Like, what's God going to do for me? What am I going to get for Christmas? What am I going to get out? Even at church. What has your church got for me? Let me tell you something. This may shock you. But you know that God receives a blessing. God is blessed by our faithfulness. Amen. It gives Him joy. It makes Him happy. I mean, we actually are doing something for God. It blesses Him. Let's all stand, heads.